I had almost like 10 minutes into the recording, and then I had to stop it real quick because I couldn't think of the warlord who was Hideyoshi. And then I went to save it and do stuff, and then the program decided to motherfucking crash. So I wasn't that far in. It's like 5 to 10 minutes, but it's like far enough. It's like I mentioned a lot of shit, and I was like, "Remember what you said." And like, "Ah, oh, god damn!" I was like, "Fuck." Anyway, the song you just heard was "Shut Up, Go to Hell." I can't read the kanji, but I'll have the list of all the crap, like I mentioned before, a list of all the music on my blog, and you can find it easily. It's from the soundtrack for the Sengoku Basara, Ungaku Imake. Okay, mom, I'm not answering the goddamn phone. I told you to talk to you later. Anyway, it's from Sengoku Basara, Ungaku Imake, Aoban is Showtime soundtrack. It's the soundtrack from the anime. I think it's from the... No, it's the first season. It's definitely the first season. I used the soundtrack from the anime versus... the soundtrack for the game because I couldn't find it, so I'm just gonna make it easy myself. Use the soundtrack for the anime, and the anime soundtrack is great too. Now a few changes. I'm using WavePad MixPad to record audio versus Audacity. Granted, MixPad just screwed me over, but like Audacity was being weird. Like I couldn't save any MP3 files. You had to save an attachment to be able to do that. Or you have to download an attachment to be able to save as MP3 files, but that effed up. Like when I downloaded it, downloaded the Trojan, so I'm like, okay, McAfee has this in quarantine, hopefully that does a lot. But like, yeah, so fuck Audacity, and I can't even save as save WAV files, so screw it. Can't save any type of files, so nothing really works. So I'm using WavePad and Mixpanel, the NCH software suite of things. I have the free version right now. Hopefully that does what I wanted to do. Also, please subscribe to my blog. I'm going to try to have new, like my Yaoi blog, I'm going to try to have things in there that's exclusive to the blog. It's not just links to my my videos. So go there, like suggestions, or if news about games are coming out, at least games I'm interested in. Also, go there. I have a link there to an email form to make game review suggestions, rant topic suggestions, because like I said, it's going to be every other, it's going to be game review, other, it's going to be rant topic. And also, if you need advice or you have questions about anything, definitely go there. Like, now, how do I buy, where can I buy this game? How do you, like, I have a figure collector today. You know, what should I do with figure collector? Any type of question, doesn't have to be game related, just general questions, you can do that too. I'll also have in the description for every video now, links to both my blog for this podcast and then a link to the email form to make these suggestions. Also, from a generic disclaimer, so I won't be cussing, so if that bothers you, you've been fucking told. Maximum spoilers for games. I mean that in a sense, like, if I happen to cover a spoiler, oh well, I'm not holding that back. I'm gonna be the type of reviewer when I go over the game. Like, I'm gonna worry anything I think is necessary. So I may spoil some games way more heavily than others, but otherwise, expect spoilers. Also, my main blog for this podcast is the number 2minitp.wordpress.com. But again, that link as well as one other will be in the description for every podcast. So, I'm reviewing Sengoku Basara 3. It's available on the Wii and the PS3. I have it on PS3. It's a hack and slash game. I know I'm going to be doing mainly JRPG reviews, but I'll do occasional game that's not like from the JRPG genre. This is a hack and slash. Gameplay is a typical hack and slash, nothing really special. If you're used to Dynasty or Samurai Warriors, you'll kind of be in know of like what's going on, because Samurai Warriors is another Capcom game, which will be a Sengoku era hack and slash. For the music, it's great music. For the opening, Team Revolution did it. The name of the song is Naked Arms. It's great. They do the English, there's an English version and then a Japanese version. Or should I say English version. But this is a great song. I love Team Revolution. It's like the main J-pop band or J-rock group that I love for like the longest time. I think it's just been like decade plus that I love this band. And that's how long we've been going at it. Guy still looks really young too. But yeah. And the other music is also great. You will love the soundtrack. Definitely give it a listen. You can listen to the songs on YouTube if you want some like a sampler. But it's great. The story and plot, basic hack and slash name, like other Sengoku games, Sengoku Basara games. You pick your character, and with your character, it's going to most likely be a real-life daimyo or samurai from the Sengoku era, but of course this is just the artistic representation of that character. So you pick your historical figure. You pick your figure, and with that figure, you're gonna unify Japan. That's the main plot of the game. Of course, it gets funny, because if you know historically what happened during the Sengoku era, it's just funny when you get Date Masamune, for example. And incidentally, Sengoku Basara is where I got the whole DJ Date Masamune persona from. Granted, Date Masamune persona is now based more off Brave Tennis Date Masamune, because he's more fantastic and fabulous, but originally it was from the Sengoku Basara Date. But it's funny if you get Date and controlling him, and then you unify Japan with Date. It's like, Date didn't do that, but this is funny. To get a more accurate view of what happened, I guess, use Ieyasu Tokugawa. Anyway, also kind of backstory, basically backstory. It's like this kind of lover's quarrel between Ieyasu Tokugawa, Mitsunari, Ishida. It's kind of funny, because the game pretty much opens with Ieyasu and Mitsunari both allied to Hideyoshi Toyotomi, who historically did basically unifying Japan after Oda Nobunaga started. Hideyoshi, of course, was allied to Oda Nobunaga, historically speaking. But in the game, Ieyasu kills Hideyoshi, and Mitsunari's like mad butter about it. Because Mitsunari devoted his entire life to Hideyoshi, he didn't have anything else. And Ieyasu was basically like his gay lover, so it's like super betrayal. So now Mitsunari's just whole deal is like fucking get revenge for his late lord against Ieyasu and wants to kill him. Basically, it's like they're the main pairing to rival or kind of replace Yukimura and Date, because that's the other main pair, or that's the original main pairing, but they're doing new things and they're fun. Art and character design is more or less detailed. Every character has like their own color theme that's very obvious. Like Date's blue, Yukimura's red, Mitsunari's like purple, and of course it's like a secondary color, but Mitsunari's purple. Wait a minute, I think if I didn't say most oh my god, Mozart's green, Mochichika's like a purplish pink, Ieyasu's freaking yellow, god damn it, I fucking hate yellow. Ieyasu's yellow, some of them are less obvious, like Ieyasu, like Shimazu's more like earthy tones. Who else is playing this fucking game? What's your name? Oichi is like pinkish purplish, or you get an alternate costume with a stained glass out look, and it looks great. Oh, Nobunaga's silver and red, he's a secret character. It's like, remember all the characters from the top of your heads. Like, I did not put this in my freaking notes. Kanbei is like an earthy tones with like a yellowish brown color, and then Mitsunari's helper guy, whose name I'm randomly blanking out on because it's been too long since I really played this game, but he's like a white theme, and he's got like a moth theme because it's like Fireball's death and rebirth, but moth, I think it's a scrap death, I don't know. I remember his name later on, and randomly blur it out like I have Tourette's. But anyway, no offense to people with Tourette's, by the way. Like, the character design is really great, and it's fairly detailed, but if you're used to Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors, it's not as detailed as those games, because I would say those costumes are way more innate, and there's way more shit going on, but it's still really good for a Sengoku Basara game. Because it's like, both of these games are from Capcom, that's when you keep mentioning Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors. Granted, Dynasty Warriors is more Legend of the Three Kingdoms and China warring states period, whereas Samurai Warriors and Sengoku Basara more warring states era for Japan or Sengoku era. So, write those notes. Where am I? Scrolling through my notes. Characters, they're really great. They're awesome. I don't have a comma in this where it needs to be. They're really fun. They're great. They're really colorful, and they really stand out. Whereas Samurai Warriors has more intricately designed characters, and the character personalities are really good. Sengoku Basara characters will really always leave a lasting impression on you. Their personalities are very bombastic. Every character really stands out. Especially characters like Date and Mitsunari and Mochichika and Mitsunari and Ieyasu. They really freaking stand out. Like, pretty much every character in the cast of characters really stands out. They're all really fun. Now, arguably, they're all kind of like anime stereotypical stock character types, but they're really fun the way they use them as Basara. Boss battle wise, because you know, boss battles, at least for a hack and slash, where, you know, you have your area and every area has, like, the lord of that area. They're pretty straightforward, pretty simple, not that complex. More or less, they're more or less easy to win, because, like, it depends on who you're going against. It depends on what character you're using. Certain characters are harder to use than others. Like, Shimazu can be a real pain in the butt to use, but then later on, with you learn a skill with Shimazu that it grants them the ability to one-hit kill anything, including... Oh my god, super second. Including bosses. Like, it's a little bit of a delay, but it's an uninterruptible attack, and as long as the enemy is directly in front of you, when you hit them, it's a one-hit kill. It's great. But anyway, every boss battle is more or less easy to win, except for that hidden battle when you go against Oda Nobunaga. When you first do it, you can do it with Oichi, which is easy. She's like the cheapest character. I love using Oichi. Fucking demon rape hands from hell, just slamming people to ground constantly. just stand there at a certain point, like slam, 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 in the different directions. It's great. When you have to play as other characters, it might be a little bit hard, depending on who you're using. The second time I did it was with Mitsunari Ishii. That's like the first time I died. Besides Iyasu's area with Date, I kept trying to go against freaking, oh god, Takatsu, because I'm stupid, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But anyway, like, yeah, that's the only tough part. Otherwise, it's really relatively simple. Area forgot to cover. Level design is pretty decent. Sometimes it can feel a bit claustrophobic, especially Nambu's area. If I'm not pronouncing his name right, it's the area where it's like in the mountains, all death themed and crap, and it's like the undead warriors, that area. So, like, that one's like very small, and it's really not that much exploring you can do, especially if you're used to playing Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors. It's very small, not very expansive whatsoever. Some areas are a little bit bigger than others, but at the end of the day, they're not nearly as expansive as Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors. And it can get really old, like, when you're going on your third, fourth, fifth run throughout an area, because it's the same freaking areas. Because at least with Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors, the areas are expansive enough that even if you do it multiple times, it's like you're discovering new things every time. It's so fucking big. I mean, they're big enough that you need to ride that horse around, because otherwise it's like you'll never get anywhere. Whereas Sengoku Basara is like, you could get horses, but it's like, certain areas really merit your horses, but other areas, like, nah, it's really small. Like, Oichi's area, for example, is like, it's really small. And I really hate Oichi's area, because it's like, it's dark as fuck the whole time, so you can't really see shit. That's kind of the point, because it's kind of like this horror theme. You're outside, you're like, what the fuck, you don't know when she's gonna pop up, but you're like, I can't fucking see. This isn't scary, this is just really freaking annoying. But it's interesting when you get to the end of the stage, it's like daybreak, because you finally defeated, you got through the nightmare of Oichi. So that part's cool, but in general, the areas are pretty claustrophobic. Some are more fun than others, but eh. It could, like, it's not, it's fine if you never played a game like Dynasty Warriors, Samurai Warriors before, but if you played them before, it's like, oh, what the hell. I mean, balls off. Fun, like, I mean, quotes. Funness is a very fun game, especially with the characters you're using. A lot of the, like, some of your weapons are so fucking ridiculous. Like, whereas in Samurai Warriors and Dynasty Warriors, you can have your pick of weapons, or at least Dynasty Warriors, you have your pick of weapons. You have your default weapons that the characters are known for. Like, Date, you have the six fucking swords. Motochika, you have the anchor from his ship. Yuki Morgan, you have the two spears. Motonari, you have two sickles. It's really two sickles that form a perfect sphere, so it looks like a hula hoop, like Tira's weapon from Soul Calibur. But, like, they really stand out, and it's really fun, like, certain, especially with certain characters, they're really fun to use. Like, Motochika, at some point, he's a pirate character, and he gets a skill where he can just surf on land with his anchor, and you're just like, yay, surfing's fun! Takatsu can get a skill where he can more or less fly, but it's more like gliding, like, he double jumping and glide somewhere. Or what's really fun is to jump from high areas and just glide around. It's really fun. But, like, this game is really fun to play. It's just that you don't like certain characters, and you get to be a bit tedious. We had to redo areas. Like, some characters, you had to redo their areas five times because they're five different routes. And, like, the first three or four, like, levels are always the same, like, areas. But then you go off to other areas that you already explored 1,001 times already. So that can get to be a bit tedious, but still really fun. Characters alone will keep going. No, attributes specific to this game. Hack and slash aspect's pretty cool. I mean, it's typical hack and slash. But with the characters, it's pretty snazzy. You'll definitely enjoy playing this hack and slash game. The characters, like I said, will make it really enjoyable. The weapons and the crazy fighting style will definitely make it enjoyable and fun to play for years to come. But of course, it can kind of get tedious. Other thoughts, compared to other series in the same pot of hack and slash, like I keep mentioning Dynasty and Samurai Warriors, it's not as expansive. it's not as complex. Like, weapon-wise, like, Dynasty Warriors, you get all these different weapons, and different characters have better, like, you know, they had different affinities to different weapons. Like, Dynasty Warriors, you can have, like, a flute was a weapon, the harp was a weapon, the harp shot projectile attacks. You had this arm cannon, you had these flowing swords, you had all these different weapons. Any character can use any type of weapons, just they had better affinity towards some weapons other than others, and they had secondary weapons, at least in Dynasty Warriors 7, I believe, was the one I played. And attacks are very, like, you do 1, 2, 3 attacks, it's insane. That's some, to vary up with certain skills, you can hold down the button, you do a different attack, or certain attacks, you hold down the button, you can do a charge attack. But you don't get that many skills to do attacks with, and your attack tree isn't that diverse, so. And yeah, it can kind of get boring, but it's just, it's good to do this game in small bursts sometimes. When you first start, you know, play it to death, but then it's good to do it in small bursts afterwards, because it can kind of get old. But, you know, and the game's not near as epic with everything as Dynasty Warriors, Samurai Warriors, because those tend to try to stick to being as historically accurate as possible, but still have artistic license and fun with it, where Sengoku Boss is just a wacky adventure where it's like, it's more or less historically accurate. You can see where they really take liberties, but then you can see where they really honestly did their homework. It's just a matter of, like, well, when you have a game where whichever character you're controlling, that's the one that unifies Japan, it's like, well, yeah, you're going to have historical accuracy, because it's like, okay, I had to take a quick break because my mom's getting impatient because she wants food, and it's like, so anyway, she's a fun gal. She's a fun gal. Stole Trooper. Anyway, I said it was kind of I said something that's kind of super douchey at the beginning. Let me apologize for that. She's a great lady. It's just frustrating because with WavePad, you can't pause it in the middle. And when I get stopped in the middle of something, I can be really fucking pissy. Anyway, that was near the end. Let's see. So even though it's not as expansive, complex, or epic as games like Dynasty Warriors, Samurai Warriors, you'll still have a lot of fun with this game. What I really recommend is having a friend to play with. It's not necessary, but that's definitely a fun adventure. Like, you have one friend using Saika Magoichi. Yeah, now I remember you. She's a gun bitch. It's funny, because in the game, she's a woman, but, like, historically speaking, Saika Magoichi was a famous guy. And usually the person that had the title Saika Magoichi were male, but what they do in the game is that her husband died, so she took on his name. But anyway, it's funny, like, you have a friend playing Saika Magoichi, and she's just armed to the teeth with guns, because she has all the gunpowder in the region, or most of the gunpowder in the region. It's really her and Mochichika. And then you playing as Oichi is just fun. It's just fun. Anyway, one of the main setbacks of this game, but it's not gonna make it be a huge deal, is the, excuse me. Oh my god. One of the main things is that it doesn't have any online play, which is kind of a pain in the ass, because even, like, Dynasty Warriors 7 had, like, online play. Granted, have fun finding people online to play with, but it's a shame that it doesn't have that. It would have been a real awesome thing for them to have, but, you know, they don't have it, but you'll have fun anyway. Excuse me, that's a water break. So my final rating, keeping it simple, someone's changed it up, because I didn't really have one for Fate X, I was just like, yeah, it was okay, because it was, like, right now, presently, the most ambivalent I've ever been about a game. But this game, keep it simple, either I recommend or don't recommend it. I definitely recommend playing this game. It's great. I wish it did better. Honestly, there's a Sengoku Boss of 3 Atake where all those characters you see in the game that weren't playable before, all of them were playable. Like characters like Kojiro Katsukura, all the helper people, or all the retainers and ninjas. Yuki Morgan. What the fuck? Sasuke, Sarutobi, the blonde ninja whose name I keep randomly forgetting, Kenshin, Takeda, all those characters were playable in Sengoku Basara Itage. But they had a press release at some point and they're like, yeah, we're not getting more Sengoku Basara games because Sengoku Basara 3 really didn't sell well here. I think they thought with the anime that maybe it will sell. It didn't, unfortunately. It was a real fucking shame. That's one of those shows and games that this really should have done really well, but it didn't. It's like, god damn it. There's also Sengoku Basara 4. If it didn't already come out, it's coming out really soon. And they added a few more characters then. And I'm really confused because Sengoku Basara 3 pretty much wraps up with the Battle of Sekigahara, and historically speaking, Battle of Sekigahara pretty much wraps up the Sengoku era, so I have no idea what the fourth game spot is going to be. I need to look into that, but anyway, definitely recommend this game. It's on PS3 and Wii. Buy it. This game, or and really, is I start with the show first. That's why that's the origin of the whole DJ Dante Masamune thing. Oh, I got Dante Masamune from this because I fell in love with Dante Masamune when I watched the show. And quite frankly, on Facebook, I had like the same name for a long time. And that's when I changed it to like Dante Masamune. I'm like, yeah, Dante Masamune, Dante Masamune pictures everywhere. But now, as you can see, if you're looking at all my blogs, it's more of a. And that's why I had the helmet for the logo, but then it's like, yeah, it's a helmet for the logo, which is real. That's historically accurate. The real Dante Masamune had a huge golden crescent on his helmet, and he was one-eyed in real life. In real life, he did have the title of nickname of Dokugamaru, was his one-eyed dragon. That's real. Like they say, truth is stranger than fiction. But that's why it's funny to watch the Sengoku Basara anime, and it's funny to see, and play the game, it's funny to see how many things are actually historically fucking accurate. But now for Dante Masamune, more Brave 10 Dante Masamune, which is why you see his family stew on everything they do now, especially for my blog. But yeah, recommend this game. DJ Dante Masamune, signing out. The next game review is going to be Tales of Graces F, whenever I get around to doing it. Also, probably going to be doing a video where I just cover all of my con adventures for 2013. And like I mentioned before, I'm going to be probably have a mini series where I upload all the rant videos from my rant vlog that was a rant YouTube channel. But then it's like, well, this one has a rant too, and I need to get rid of stuff. So I will see you bitches later. Bye!